Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness, for your promises, for your great power, your great love. Thank you, God, for reaching down in your greatness to our weakness. We need you. Be here among us today in the person of your Holy Spirit. And we pray against every power of the enemy that would come in to interfere with this time together today. We want you, God, to be glorified. We want Jesus Christ to be lifted up. I pray, hide me behind the cross. Bless each one of these students with a visitation of your Holy Spirit. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Greetings in this wonderful and precious name of Jesus. I think we're going to just sing that little chorus again. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. More and more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. Let's try that together. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. More and more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. Amen. You know, in one sense, we should maybe say, so I'll give Him all of me. And that's what we want to do. But you know, somehow in our humanity, I think we never quite get that altogether done. We give all that we know of, and the Lord knows just how much that we're capable of giving up. And a little further down the road, He puts His finger on something else, doesn't He? Maybe even baptizes us with fire again to purge something there that He knows needs to be taken out. And He puts His finger on another one and He says, it's time to deal with it. I thought I'd given everything. Well, here's another one. You know, in my 67 years of life, God's still doing that work. Still doing that work. I just praise Him for His patience with me. He's so patient. But He just keeps on. Praise His holy name. He just keeps on. Well, today, the Lord's laid on my heart to bring a message on learning again from Jesus to become a child of the Father. To become a child of the Father. 1 Peter 2, 1 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so we're thinking about becoming a child of the Heavenly Father. Now if we look into the Scriptures, into the fact in the book of Luke chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, we have a list of the genealogies. How many of you love to read the genealogies? You like to read the genealogies? I'll be honest with you, they get a little bit boring to me. But I'll tell you what, if we saw our name in them or our ancestors' name in them, they'd all at once take some meaning in life, wouldn't they? Well, the fact is that the Jews put a lot of emphasis on genealogies because their claim to the oracles of God, to the covenants of God, was all on the basis of their genealogies. It was all on the basis of the lineage they were born into. And so they took a lot of interest in that, and there was a lot of carefulness in keeping those genealogies. Today, from the New Testament, from Jesus on, how many genealogies do we have in the Scriptures? Zero, right? You know why? You know what that teaches us? One of the things it teaches us is that God has no grandchildren. God doesn't have grandchildren. He wants us all for sons and daughters. And we want to learn of Jesus how to be a child of the Father. And when I say a child of the Father, I want you to know I'm still a child. I'm still a child. I'm still actually a baby yet. If you take and calculate what 1,000 years is in the sight of God, and it says, how long a period of time? One day. All right, figure it up. How old are you in the eyes of God? I happen to be about a little baby of 2 hours. We stay little children, don't you? Don't we? Children of the Father. How to become a child of the Father. In Luke chapter 3, we have this list of the genealogies starting from where Jesus was way on back. And this man was the son of this man, and this man was the son of this man, and this man was the son of this man. On and on and on and on until we get back to Adam. And then he says, and Adam, which was the son of God. But Adam's sonship was based on creation. His sonship was on the basis of creation. Adam's sonship relationship with God was beautiful. I think we've heard a little bit about that different times in this course of Bible school, but it was. Adam's relationship as a son to God was a beautiful relationship. They enjoyed the wonderful times of communion together. I believe they walked together and loved the presence of each other until sin marred the relationship. God said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And you know, that's just what happened. We could go into a lot of detail about that, but the fact is that man died. You'd say, oh, well, but he was still living. Man is a threefold being, we said. No, he has body, soul, and spirit. And spiritually, man died immediately. His relationship with the Father was cut off. He was afraid where he had joy before. Now he was afraid. Spiritually, he was dead. So far as the soul, he began a downward course. And the human race went from generation to generation, further down, further down, further down, until we get to the chapter of 6 of the book of Genesis. And it says God was grieved. His heart pained for where man was, because man's thoughts were only evil continually. That's a progression downward of the soul. You know, the soul is where those feelings are. It's where our decisions lie. Jesus said of the last days, it's going to be like the days of Noah, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, I used to think that meant just man's love for God, but I'm believing more and more that that's even a natural love that's getting cold for others. No regard for human life, for the shedding of blood. You see those young children, I don't know, I guess it's others too, but down in Bolivia, they have these internet cafe. I don't know if that rings any bells to you or not, but it's where they have a room with internet, with the computers in there. And one time my son was going to look for I believe it was an airplane ticket for me, and of course I would have crashed the thing all up. I don't know how to use it, but he knows how to use it, and he uses it discreetly. But in that room there was about 12 computers sitting there, and All but one was occupied, and they were occupied by children of about 8 to 12 years old. You know what they were doing? Every one of them. They were there playing these games, and they could see the blood splattering. Oh, it was so terrible. And I just walked up to one little boy. I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, "Son, I said, God has a better way for you than this, son." You know what that does? You know what that does in the heart of that child? It calluses all feelings. It calluses. Iniquity is abounding and the love's getting cold. I was told that one of the sons of Matthew Nichols, who lives way back in the jungles of Bolivia. I mean, I live next to Main Street compared to him. We don't have electricity, but he lived way on back. It was like a week's ride by a boat even to get out where they had any services of any kind. And anyway, their children were basically raised there. And one of his sons, a teenage son, when they came out one time to where some of their friends were, they had some video or something on. And it was about one of these videos where it was the shedding of blood. You know what happened to his teenage son? He got up, he went outside, and he puked. That's because his heart wasn't callous to all this bloodshed. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That is a depraved soul. When the soul gets so far away from God that it has no regard even for fellow man. And that's what I'm trying to say here this morning. Spiritually, man died in the garden immediately. So far as the soul was concerned, he began a downward course of death. And so far as the physical man, he began to die. And he began to get sick. He'd cough and he went through his spats with the flu. You know how it is when a little child's born into the world and they're all healthy. That child lives faster than it dies. It begins dying the day it comes into the world. It begins dying, but there's something within that body of a healthy child that's able to live a little faster than it's dying. And when we get to about 40 years old, we start dying a little faster than we're living. And we start going downhill. We've topped the hill. Now we're going down. I like to think of it this way. When you top the hill, you can pick up speed. But, you know, it doesn't always work that way and everything. But it's because of the side of the hill I'm on. But the solemn thing is that we're all going to die physically as well. So man did die the day he ate of that fruit. He died spiritually immediately, the soul progressively, and the body ultimately. Now today we want to see what our blessed Jesus Christ, this one we've been looking at, the one we adore, the one we worship, the one who's done everything for us, and He is everything for us, and we're complete in Him, what He has done for us to redeem us from the curse of the fall. All that was lost in the fall is redeemed through our precious Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Everything. As I understand the prophetic scriptures, it includes the whole creation. Everything. God created the whole world for His glory. You think He's going to sign it off and say, "Oh, the devil got that part of it"? No! He will receive glory from it all. His whole creation. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together with us until now, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption. Oh, the redemption. Well, that's another subject. But no, it's not either. It's all a part of it. But it's what Jesus has done and what He's going to do in Jesus Christ, just in a nutshell, so we don't forget this truth of what happened in the fall and what's redeemed in Jesus for you and I. Now, redemption goes a lot further than just you and I. It goes to the whole world and it goes to everything that God has made. God will receive glory. He will be ultimate victor. Amen? Yes, He's ultimate victor. Through Jesus. Jesus is the one. Now, man, we said He died immediately spiritually. Progressively, He was dying in the soul. Ultimately, in the body. And so we have an old man laying there. It doesn't matter if he lived 900 years old or if he died, what age they died. They're laying there in the grave. They're dead. All right? But when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we are born, and we want to look at that, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, there's something happens immediately to your and my spirit and our spiritual life. There's newness of life. God doesn't hold us off a week or a month. He immediately imparts to us that spiritual life, and we are alive in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's immediate spiritual life. And so far as the soul is concerned, there begins a progression. We call it progressive sanctification. And God takes us patiently by the hand as a little child, as a father does his child. And He leads us on step by step by step. And our soul grows. And we grow in the likeness of our Lord. Yes, it's a growing experience. It's a day by day. That soul, God is interested in our sanctification. And when we're saved, He looks at us just as though we had never sinned. Is there any needs yet to be met? Are there any things that need to be dealt with? Of course! But we have such a wonderful Heavenly Father that He knows just what we can take each step. And He does that patiently with us. Step by step by step. It's a little like a father with his son. He knows that that son can't do but so much at his age. And so He takes that son step by step. Oh, it's such a blessing. I remember back when... Oh, wait. I'm going to finish this other first. And then, so far as the body is concerned. You know, we've looked at the soul, the spirit. Spiritually, immediate life. The soul, progressive in sanctification. And then, ultimately, that body laying in the grave is going to be resurrected. That body's not going to just go to nothing. God created that for His glory too. And it's going to be resurrected. It's going to be changed. It's going to be a new body given. Glorified. Oh, you know why we have bodies today? You know why God gave man a body? Why do you think you have a body? Amen. Any other answers? From the Scripture. Why did God give you a body? Sometimes people think, this is mine. I can do with it what I want. Read your Bible. Know ye not that your body is... Amen. The temple of the Holy Ghost. God gave us a body to be His temple. He wants to dwell there. Be careful what you do with your body. Amen. Be careful what you do with your body. Make sure that God is being glorified in everything you do and say. And the way you act and the way you appear. All to the glory of God. And so it's all brought back in Jesus Christ. All that was lost in the fall is redeemed in Jesus Christ. And so now we can have life immediately. Immediately. Spiritual life in Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God. We can grow in grace and in knowledge. In the soul, we can grow progressively in sanctification. And even though the body is laid in the tomb, in the grave, there's a resurrection. Jesus will shout, "Awake and sing!" There's going to be a resurrection. Well, praise God for the marvelous redemption in Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, that's so wonderful. Now, talking about how God deals with us as little children, I have to think back. I have to think back to the days when my boys were little fellows. They were growing up. You know what just really made me happy? My little boy would be out there with me. We'd be working together, and we were farmers, and the family worked together. And when my little boy got all excited about what I was doing, and he'd come evening time, and he'd say, "Daddy, Dad, what are you going to do tomorrow?" And that just used to bless my heart. Hey, he takes so much interest. He has an interest in knowing even what I'm going to do tomorrow. He's excited about it. He loves his daddy. And you know what? God just loves it when we take an interest in what he's doing. You want to know why I love prophecy? I want to know what my daddy's going to do. I'm just interested in knowing what... And I'll tell you, all of us are going to have a lot of pleasant surprises about the prophecy thing. We will. But there will be no disappointments if we love God. We'll all be happy and satisfied the way God works it all out. But I believe God gives us the prophetic. There's one-third of the scriptures, I'm told, that are prophetic scriptures. And they're a blessing. You know what they're for? They're to inspire us as children of God to see that our Heavenly Father is victor. He's Lord. Jesus is Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. The life isn't in vain. So let's take interest in it. We may not understand it all right. We may see through the glass darkly. We may not understand it all right, but believe it. Believe it. Revelation chapter 1 says, "Blessed is he that readeth." No? So read it. Believe it. Let God work it out. Don't get too horny about how it's going to be. You can say, I believe, I understand it to be this way, but don't get too horny about, oh, and this is just it, you know? Because we have limitations. We don't understand everything. God does. God does. There's no problem with God working it out. Well, getting back to our subject here. When we come to the New Testament, we see and learn from Jesus how God provides, through Jesus Christ, the restoration of the sonship relationship with God. And it's not on the basis of creation. The restoration of the sonship with God. Adam was the only man that was called the Son of God, and it was by creation. The relationship of the sonship is not on the basis of creation, but on the basis of the grace of God by the blood of Jesus. And there's a new birth that takes place. There's a birth of water and of the Spirit. I have a question. Which do you think is the most precious and dear to a mother? You sisters could maybe answer this one. And I know it's very easy to answer. Which do you think is the most dear to a mother? A beautiful cake she's made or a child she has birthed? You know, Adam was precious to God. He made Adam. He's made us. But he hasn't only made us. He's made a provision that we can be birthed into his family. Sons and daughters. He wants to be our father. He wants to be our daddy. He says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, chapter 6, verse 18, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." How precious. How precious. So often we look on the Christian life as a list of negatives. We might look at that later on in another message. But we look at the Christian life too often as a list of negatives. Well, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. I'm a Christian now, and so here's the list of restrictions. And you know what those are? They're the list of privileges. The privilege is we can be separated unto God. We can be the child, the son, the daughter of God. We have the privilege of pleasing the Father. Don't look at your Christian life with negatives. Put the positive on there. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. You have the privilege of being a of being a testimony for Jesus Christ. Testimony for Jesus. God wants us to be sons and daughters, not grandchildren. Not grandchildren. If you're here this morning, and I don't know you real well, but I've met a few of you, but I don't know where you are in your Christian life. I don't know where you are in relation to what your experience has been. But God knows. And that's the precious thing this morning. I can come up here this morning and not know you all. But He does. Jesus does. He knows every one of you. He knows exactly where you are in your Christian life. He knows exactly what you need. And He cares about you. And He loves you. And He's reaching down by His Spirit and touching your hearts this morning. I believe that. And I'm happy here to see your faces just with an eagerness in your eyes to receive what God has to say. God bless you. It makes preaching a privilege to see the eagerness. And I believe as God, much more as God looks down from heaven and sees those eyes turned toward Him, it just pleases the heart of God. It pleases the heart of God. God wants us to be those sons and daughters. Well, you can turn with me to John chapter 3. We've looked at Luke 3. If you want to see two contrasts in the Scripture, one reflecting Old Testament covenant, or Old Testament law, I should say, and the other reflecting New Testament covenant under the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord. Luke 3 compared to John 3. Luke 3, the genealogist that Israel, that the Israelites claim to bring them into the lineage of the godly line. And John 3 is where we turn to see what and how and who brings us into the family of God. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man instructed in the law. He was a man that was found in the genealogies that were right. He was a man that was very religious. He was a master, a teacher in Israel. He was a man, I believe, quite sincere. He was a man sincere enough that even though he was of the religious group of his day that was that was against Jesus, he was a man that was willing to come and sit down and talk to Jesus. And so he had an openness about him. That's to be appreciated about Nicodemus. Some people say, Nicodemus was showing his colors because he came by night. The Bible doesn't condemn Nicodemus for coming by night. The blessed thing is that he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. Let's give him credit where credit's due there, right? And he came to Jesus. He was a ruler of the Jews. One that came in the right lineage. And the one that thought, yes, to really be at the right place and serve the right one and be the right way, you have to come in this Jewish lineage. On the basis of generational genealogy. But lo, there appeared a man that Nicodemus observed, whose entire demeanor of life reflected a relationship with God that was far more than simply that of being a Jew. More than being a doctor of the law, a scribe or a Pharisee. Here was one who his whole demeanor of life reflecting a living relationship with the living God. One who spoke the words of truth from a pure heart. One who spoke from within where there were rivers of water flowing and reaching out and blessing other people. He wasn't one. He seen in this man not one whose attire was just right to get the attention that, yeah, this is a religious man. Here was one who was willing to dirty his hands and his feet and stoop down and touch the leper and heal the sick, give sight to the blind, Raise the dead. Nicodemus said, what is it? I know you've come from God. No man can do what you're doing except God is with him. I'll tell you, that was quite a confession coming from the lips of a Jewish elder. But he saw in this Christ, he saw in this Jesus, that living relationship with the living God. He saw a filled, controlled life from whom was flowing the water. By the way, if you want your life to be a witness for Jesus Christ, the water must flow. The water must flow. There must be a river, a drink of water that turns into a river. There is something that is shared that words aren't enough to share. There's something about the love of God flowing from our hearts that touches hearts more than our words touch. We can go and we can get real emphatic and tell people and lay them straight and tell them where they're going and tell what's going to happen to them. But until they see the love of Jesus Christ flowing, they're just words of condemnation. And here was this Jesus. Nicodemus saw this man isn't the same. He's not the run of Israel. This man has something. I want to know what it is. What's about this kingdom message you're preaching, Jesus? What's this kingdom message? Isn't the kingdom with Israel? I don't know what all his questions were. But Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, I don't know what age he was, but he evidently was up there enough in years. He said, how can it be? How can a man be born when he's old? Perhaps he was saying, I'm old. If I want this, how can I be born again? Can I go back to where I was before I was conceived and enter back again by conception and be born again of my mother? He could only think in terms of the natural. Jesus answered in verse 5, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be surprised that I'm saying to you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? I thought it was on the basis of our genealogies. I thought it was on the basis of law. And you're coming and saying, it's something else, and I can't understand it. My mind doesn't wrap around it. Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a master in Israel? And don't know, don't understand these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. And I just stand appalled at those words of Jesus. Jesus said, we speak. Who was there with Jesus? Jesus was there
In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He says, we. He was saying to Nicodemus, I am the Redeemer. I and the Father are one. My life is filled with the Spirit of which we are, which is us. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And then he comes with a statement. I don't know why I'm so hard learning. I have read this time and time and time again, and I've just never really connected like I connected, like the Lord just, you know, on Facebook with Jesus, right? He just opened it up to me. You may have seen it long ago. But He links His incarnation with our new birth. I don't know why I read that so many over the years. I don't know how many times I've read that. But here Jesus is saying that no man hath ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, putting it in words we better understand. He's saying, even the Son of Man, whose home is heaven. He's saying, the Son of God. He's saying that God Himself came down and became Son, became flesh. He has seen the Father. And that act of the incarnation is directly linked, is because it's only of the power of God. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. He came to His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That same power that brought the incarnation of deity made flesh is the same power that comes into your and my life when we surrender ourselves to God, when we come before God a broken sinner, cry out to God for mercy and grace and pardon in the blood of Jesus. That same power of the Spirit comes into our life and births us into the family of God. Oh, so beautiful. The incarnation of Jesus, the power of God, the new birth, the power of God, and it brings us together. We're in the same family. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it marvelous how God works? We think, oh, the incarnation of Jesus was so special and so wonderful and so great. But God is making it happen again and again, thousands of times over, because He loves His people. And He doesn't love just the Jew. Jesus said, for God so loved, and He didn't say the Jew, He does love the Jew, but He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Again, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's another thing that Jesus also brings into the picture and ties it all up with this, as one with this new birth. And that is His sacrifice, the shedding of His blood on Calvary. He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and that is something that Nicodemus could well identify. Oh, yes, yes, he remembered. He knew all that story very good. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Why is the serpent on the pole, the serpent hanging there on that cross? Why is that serpent a type of Jesus Christ, the perfect, the holy, the wonderful Lamb of God? It's because the perfect and wonderful Lamb of God that took on Himself flesh bore the sin of the whole world on the cross of Calvary. That serpent hanging on that pole symbolized sin. And only as people looked, that were bitten, looked upon that, it was God's remedy for them. But it looked way beyond to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And every one of us are bit by the serpent. We're all doomed to die. Only a look at Calvary, that look of faith, that receiving by faith, that grace by faith, brings us redemption. And so we have the incarnation of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ all tied together with your and my birth into the family of God. How wonderful. How wonderful. I don't know. To me, it's just so marvelous how deep and how wonderful this mine is. There's so much to be mined out of it. You know something? I don't know what you get out of your devotion, out of your reading of the Bible. But I want to tell you something. If we don't really get something precious out of the Word of God, we need to take inventory of the issues of our heart. There's so much there. And if you get to be 60 and 70 and 80 years old, it's still more there if you have for you to glean. In fact, I don't know why, but it seems like God just is opening more and more and more to me in my old age than I ever saw in my youth. I don't know why. I guess I'm just hard-headed and hard to learn. But it's so precious. And I just love Him for doing it. It just makes Him precious and more precious each day. Now this new birth. We want to think just a little bit about the new birth yet because it's so important. I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know what your claims are. Perhaps you're here today and born again of the Spirit of God and overflowing and finding Jesus really precious and the Spirit of God's at work in your life. Praise God. I hope that's where you are. But there is that possibility. There's so many of us that were born in a good godly home and it's so much to be thankful for. But we grow up and there's that possibility that we think, but mama and daddy were, they taught me right. I've always tried to do what's right. I don't think I'm really that bad. I want to tell you, we're all bitten by the serpent. We all need redemption. If we don't look upon the Lamb of God and see ourselves as bitten by the serpent, we're all lost. Just as lost as that little boy, that young man. Back in the bush of Bolivia that has been born into a home that knew nothing of God and nothing of the Word of God. He's lost. But we can sit right here in these circles where we've had all the opportunity of the world and be just as lost. Redemption is only through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. And you can say, oh yeah, but I want that. I want that. I'll tell you something, everybody wants it. The thief on the cross, on the other cross, he wanted it too. He said, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. You know what he wanted? He wanted salvation without a cross, and it doesn't happen. Salvation only comes by way of the cross. And as Jesus was lifted up there on the cross and suffered and died on the cross, you and I need to identify in that death. And I'll tell you, There's no birth into the family of God. There is no birth that's easy birth. There's no birth that's easy birth. That death to the old man to bring about that new birth, it costs something. It costs something. There's no dry birth. It's of water and of the Spirit. What's the water? You might say, oh, well, that's baptism. We have to get baptized. Well, I'll tell you, if that's what it was, we'd all need to run down here to the creek. And if you like to be poured, we could pour it. If you like to be immersed, we could immerse. We could use whatever mode you want. And I'll tell you what, if that's all it amounted to, you'd go down a sinner, you'd come back up a sinner. The water he's speaking of here is the activity of the Word of God. When the soul opens itself, Ephesians 5:26 talks about him sanctifying with the washing of water by the Word. When the soul opens itself, isn't the hard road that the birds take the seed away? The soul opens itself enough that the Word of God can enter. And then that Word of God begins to do a powerful work in the soul. That's why you can't sleep well. That's why you can't think well. That's why everything, I just feel miserable. The Word of God is doing a work. And it's doing something in there that nothing else has ever done. And the Spirit of God is moving. And when the soul decides and moves and makes that drastic move for God and only God, then the birth pains take place. That's where there's birth, by water and the Spirit. And there's a new baby born into the family. And all that pain of birth, and there's pain in birth. Jesus said, a woman in travail hath pain, but afterwards she forgetteth the pain for the joy, and that's the result. That's what happens when we're born into the family of God. There's joy. Joy, joy. Oh, how wonderful. There's joy in heaven and there's joy on earth when there's a new baby born into the family of God. And I'll tell you, dear people, dear young people this morning, yes, your parents may be godly people. They may be born into the family of God. They may be some of the very best parents that earth can have. But I'll tell you a little something. Just remember, you can't be grandfathered into the family of God. You just can't be grandfathered in. You can only come in as a son. As a daughter, come in. Lay it open before God. The birth is hard, I know. One time I was on a little missionary journey in Bolivia. I felt God laying it on my heart to go to a certain city. There was a couple there that I wanted to meet. I got there to the city of Cochabamba and I gave them a call. They said they were over in another department. They were a long ways away. And I was like, Lord, then why did you send me here? And I was on my way to Exiamos. I was on my way to visit someone else. But the Lord just really put it on my heart which way to take. I can't explain it all. Don't ask me how to explain all that. But God just does those things. It's a God thing. And so I said, well, Lord, why did you send me here? That's all right, Ed. You don't need to know. I'm leading you. And so I go on over to the bus station and I get a bus ticket to go to La Paz. And there was a seat left on the bus. They said it's just ready to leave. So I bought the ticket, climbed on, got on the bus, sat down. There to my side was a young girl, about 17 years old, 16, 17 years old. And very quiet young girl. And I thought, well, I'm going to have a quiet ride to La Paz. I don't think she's very talkative. I got my Bible out. I wanted to have my time with the Lord. I got my Bible out and I was reading and spending time with the Lord. And all at once, she says, sir, you're a believer. You're a Christian. I said, yes, by the grace of God and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I gave her my testimony. And then I looked at her and I said, and you, are you a Christian? She said, yes. And I said, could you tell me about it? What happened? Because I was like, is she really a Christian? Is she really for real? She said, yes. She said, about 2 years ago. She said, God laid it on my heart. My brother was attending an evangelical church. And she said, God laid it on my heart. I had to go. And I told my mama, I've got to go to church tonight. And her mother said, oh no, don't you do that. Because she said, my daddy's a witch. He's a witch doctor. And she said, I knew he would be furious. And her mama told her, said, don't you go. Your daddy will be furious. But she said, I felt I needed to go. And she said, I went. And there I heard the gospel message. And there I gave my life to Jesus. Knowing that there was an angry father full of wrath waiting at home. You think the birth was easy? No. The birth was painful. But she found Jesus precious. I said, let's pray. We had a wonderful little prayer time together there. There wasn't any question in my mind why God sent me by the way of Cochabamba to La Paz and from there on. And that's just the way that whole trip was, but that's another story. But anyway, praise God. God, in His mercy, He takes us. And He takes us from where we are to where He is. But we begin with new birth. We begin with new birth. Young people, here this morning, don't you leave this place without crying out to God and asking that God come in and change your life. Unless you're born of the Spirit of God, you're not in the family of God. You may be a good person. So far as the world is concerned and looking on, you may be good. You may feel like I'm trying to do good, and that's all good to a point. But it doesn't make you a son of God. It doesn't make you a daughter of God. God wants you for His Son, for His daughter. New birth is what God has for you. It's what He has for me. He's got that for everyone. And then we go on from there. And maybe you're asking, well, is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit? When a person gets born again. And I don't know what all you believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John said, and He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I believe that. But you know what? I've had concepts where I was putting God in a little box. Yeah, this is the way the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And God just blew my little box to pieces. I believe when a person is born again, they're born of the Spirit of God. And we receive the measure of God's Spirit that we need to take those first breaths and to drink that milk of the Word. You know what happens to a baby when he's born? What does he want? He wants milk. And where does he get that milk? From his mama. 3 feet away? No. Right tight against his mama, he receives that milk. That's where we receive the milk of God's Word. Right tight against, right with the Holy Spirit. We receive, drink that wonderful milk of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is there doing a work. And we come along a little further in our Christian life and yeah, we're growing, but I feel a need. I'm not even sure I have the Spirit of God. You ever get to those places? I'm not sure I really have the Spirit of God. Isn't there something more that God has? And I'm going to church and I'm taking part and the list goes on. But isn't there something more? Yes, there is. Don't you leave this place and think that there's nothing more. God has more for you. And He has more and more and more. You say, oh, you believe in the second work of grace. I surely do. And I believe in the thousandth work of grace also. God just keeps on working that grace. And the more, the less and less that there is of this old man holding out, the more that there is of God in our heart. The more there is of the Spirit of God. You might say, well, I got baptized with the Spirit back there. Wonderful. But your testimony can't stop back there where you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You better keep getting baptized. I asked the Lord this morning, please just fill me, baptize me again with your Holy Spirit. That's what we need. We need each day that renewing that we might go on from where we are to where He is. Birth is where life begins. Oh Lord Jesus, thank You for Your sacrifice on Calvary. Thank You for Your incarnation coming into this world, humbling Yourself and coming down and stooping down and reaching down to our weakness. Thank You, oh Jesus, for Your shed blood. Thank You, Jesus, for the work of Your Holy Spirit to bring us into Your family. Oh God, we need more of You. Fill us, we pray. Bless these young people. May they find You precious today and tomorrow and as long as life shall last. May they find grace for grace to be their portion. That grace that comes from You. That influence of Your presence. May they find that real. All for Your glory, God. Thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.